magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Friday, August 16th, 2019. And for the first Friday in three weeks, Jason, that we're together, you were willing to do the program again to allow me to do a lot of other things. Thank you for that offer, by the way. But I wanted to connect with you, but it's not in person. So the second best was to be able to call you up. I think you're at the church office now, right?
Yeah. You know, it's back to school week, so it's three shades of crazy around this place.
Jeez, three shades of crazy. Yeah, Esther starts actually on Monday, but on Wednesday we had, you know, you meet the teacher in the classroom. Then on Thursday, Holly took in all the school supplies that had to be labeled and listed and counted for. And so this is the last weekend, and your children start today.
Yep, they sure do. Yep, as folks are listening to this right now, we're probably all trying to figure out how to move out of bed, out the door, onto the bus. The last time I checked, you know, we were just able to figure out the bus schedules and that. And we've got little Samuel is his first day of school today, too. So this is our last one is out of the nest at school.
Wow. So, Tasha, it'll be a huge transition. Like, where's little Sammy? Where's Samuel?
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if it'll be that. I think she's just trying to figure out what she's going to do with herself. And we've been talking about, you know, the possibility of maybe her having a part-time job or something like that. And the other day I said, so, you know, you're going to get a part-time job? And she says, you know, maybe I'm going to start taking care of some little projects around the house. So I'm interested in what's going to come about from that.
Yes. Oh, yeah, whether it'll reduce or minimize the honey-do list or it'll like, get increased.
I don't know. I got a list of projects if she needs one, but.
Oh, well, we'll be praying you up, the children, obviously the teachers, and this new year that so many of our children or grandchildren or great-grandchildren for some of our listeners that the routine when they go back to school and schedules change and, you know, you long for those times where you can spend all day with them. Well, now you have the afternoons, but they got to study or they have band class or cheerleading or whatever activity after school they're going to. So suddenly everyone's carting them around this way, schedules are all changed. Oh, by the way, there's 16 students in the classroom. They all have birthday parties. Now we got to, you know, it's endless.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. I mean, it's, once it does this, it ramps up. I mean, the little birthday invitations, like you said, will start coming. Oh, gosh, it's just never ending. The field trips, the after-school events, the this, the that. And our son, our oldest, is in French class in the morning. And so, you know, we got to get up and get him in the car and get him to French class an hour before school begins.
Now, this is French, the language?
Yeah, he's learning French.
Wow, and this is before school.
Yeah, they do it as they call it a zero-hour class. And so, yeah, he's going to learn French. He could learn French or Spanish. And I tried to persuade him Spanish because I thought that would be helpful when we go out to eat at the local Mexican restaurants. I thought that he could help with the authenticity of the experience. But he wanted to learn French. He said that he thought that would be more interesting. Plus, there is some caveat that at some point the class goes on a trip to France.
Oh.
So I think my invitation for him to go to Dos Reales with me to better interpret the menu and the school's invitation to go to Paris, France, I think mine fell short.
Yeah, that's right. It was weighing in the balance and it leaned towards France.
I was probably winning for about a minute and a half, and then I immediately moved into losing category.
Wow. Well, I know everyone's launching into new seasons. The Singing Men started this past Monday. The Children's Choir gets launched in a few weeks. In fact, I have in front of me a little insert that I put in all the thank you letters that we send out, and it says, please be in prayer for our various ministries starting up in the fall. The Singing Men has just started, or the ongoing work that they do. Singing Men of GNN, the Great News Radio Children's Choir, Prime Lifetimes Papers, English Conversation Classes, the Great News Radio Theater Troupe, the Great News Radio Center here where we have a number of activities and outreaches, and then special prayer for God's leading into the future with expanding our broadcasts and radio ministries. And then I have two other lines. We live in exciting times to be proclaiming the good news of Jesus, bringing hope and healing to a hurting world. We count on and highly value your prayers so much. And yeah, that's just been very true in the hustle and bustle of getting all these things launched and put together and thought through. Actually, the launching is the easy part. It's praying it up. It's thinking through all the facets, the ramifications. Okay, if we're going to put on an event 2 months out, we have to be doing this. We have to be doing that and thinking through, you know, our memorization Monday guests, our testimony Tuesday guests, and a variety of other things. So, yeah, it's been kind of crazy. And so I've appreciated the last few Fridays. I've been able to focus on some other things. And one of the things, I want to share this because this was exciting yesterday as I stopped by Karen's. She said, hey, Mark, we got a special check and there was a note with it. And as you know, Jason, and most of our listeners, in the 22, 23 years that we've been broadcasting, we've never had a share-a-thon. We've never preempt any of the programming for fundraising efforts. In fact, I don't think we've even had a banquet in 10 or 12 years. It's been a lot. I can't even remember the last banquet. The last big gathering was 3 years ago here at Lincoln Square, where we just had our 20th celebration, where we didn't even take an offering. We just had a listener appreciation gathering, if you will, where we had the theater troupe and the singing men, and Dr. Lutzer came down, and about 1,000 people came out and didn't even take an offering. So, you know, it was just like, let's just appreciate everyone. Well, the last few months, we've not said anything, but budgets have been kind of tight. Usually summer giving dips some. People are traveling or just, you know, get out of their habit of maybe donating each and every month. And things were getting kind of tight. In fact, the other day I said, hey, Karen, hold on to some of those bills. I got to make sure we have enough in the account. We've been fortunate these 23 plus years that there's always been money when we've needed computers or updating equipment or to pay our bills on time or salaries. That's always just happened. But it's been kind of close as we've been in many years. And so Karen says, Mark, here's a little letter that will probably encourage you, because she always knows, her and I always work with bank balance and such, so we know what bills to pay and how to account for everything. And so this note was, dear Christian friends, Joy Love Johnson, known as Aunt Love by her family, which is just classic, passed away on June 28th, so recently. She wished to share her earthly wealth with your ministry. At 97, and thank you, God, for the senior saints that get to live such a full life, but it says at 97, Aunt Love continued to teach Sunday school. Hey, that's got to warm your heart,
wow.
Right? 97 and still teaching Sunday school to first and second graders in Fithian, Illinois. She sprinkled her lessons with gifts of love and joy. She encouraged the children to become believers and to continue the mission of spreading the gospel. Oh, wow, that's what we're all about. But, boy, at 97, wouldn't we hope that that would be true of both of us? And then it goes on to say, Aunt Love drew strength from many sources, which included TV, radio, and written publications. Thank you for your part in carefully preparing them. As her family, we are happy to complete this wish for her. Enclosed is a check, and I'll just say it's between $20,000 and $30,000, which, thank you, God, at a time where, you know, we were just trying to figure out how are the bills and everything going to be paid. This most generous, wonderful gift arrived yesterday, and then it closes out, may Jesus continue to be the focus for all of us. Thanks again. And then the executor signs this little letter. So I was thinking, and I shared this with the board, and I sent this out in an email to a couple friends, that God always knows the timing, always knows the need, always can work through unique ways, because we were trying to figure out, should we make any kind of announcements? What should we do? You know, we've never had special share-a-thons in the fall or the spring. Is that something we would do? And it's like God took care of it. And I just thought, how incredible that we were a part of her will, her estate wish. And so this will be used in very unique and special ways. And just thank God that he provided for our needs. And what a sweet, wonderful letter. 97-year-old Joy Love Johnston went home to be with the Lord recently and thought of putting us in her estate planning. So, oh, wow, that's just powerful to me, you know, knowing where we're at financially and how God worked it all out. Just amazing.
Yeah.
Oh, another word I wrote down this morning, I shared it yesterday with my Pinnacle guys. This is a group of 8 to 10 guys that meet regularly. In fact, we were meeting once a month or every 2 weeks. But during the summertime, one of the guys, Russ Taylor, in fact, said, hey, why don't we just meet every week? That way you're not confused. Is it this week or next week or when's the second or the fourth? Because some months have 5 Thursdays. And so we thought, hey, if only 2 show up, that's great. Well, it seems like most all the guys show up every week now. And so yesterday I was sharing that book that you recently received, St. Peter's Principle. And so we were just launching in the first couple chapters. And I shared one of the things that I like, that parable of the woman that was experiencing the bleeding for 12 years. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, I loved her persistence, her intentionality, her desire, even knowing that she was unclean. She shouldn't have been out with the public. She shouldn't have been in the crowd. But she was convinced because of her faith that if I just touched Jesus's robe, I would be healed. You know, that's just what she knew in her heart of hearts. And the other thing that I really appreciated about her, and you have maybe mentioned this in some of your sermons, or somebody else recently has also referred to it, she was desperate. And I thought, how oftentimes, because we have our retirement accounts, or, you know, we're pretty well-to-do, even the poorest of our listeners are probably way above what the average person in the world lives with, the environment. You know, we have air conditioning, we have hot water, we can bathe. Maybe it's a trailer home or, you know, not the best ideal situation, but probably better than most people in the world. And so we don't have that tendency to be desperate for the Lord, desperate for God to answer prayer. Desperate for him. And I was just thinking about, she was desperate. For 12 years, she had this issue of blood. And doctors, Luke, this is recounted in Luke, I think it's chapter 8 or 14. There's two different passages I shared out of Luke. But she was desperate. And she, because of her faith, said, if I could just touch Jesus. And so I've just been thinking about, have I been desperate for the Lord like her? Do we find ourselves desperately seeking after him, wanting to spend time with him? And I had to say, you know, for the most part, no, I'm pretty self-sufficient. Yeah, I read his word. Yeah, I love him. Yeah, I'm thankful for him. But am I desperate? And I think you get to see exciting things when you're really desperately pursuing him. And so I thought, Lord, I want to be like that woman, like so sold out that I'm desperate to spend time with. I think you had even felt that or something similar where recently you're finding yourself falling in love with him more and in new ways. But what do you think about that, like being desperate for the Lord? That's something that I want to think about that word a lot.
Well, I think the problem is that we've come up with all of these categories and what it means to be near the Lord. And so when I say that, you know, we say, well, you know, I got devotion time, or I've got prayer time, or I've got Bible study time, or I've got this, or I've got that. And we've made our time with the Lord a destination. We've made it academic. We've made it something that we check off of a list. Instead of seeing it as spending time with a person. You know, we look at it as though it's something to do. It's a part of our Christian life, and it's something we are supposed to do. We're supposed to go to Bible study so that we can grow to know the Lord. We're supposed to pray because the Bible tells us to. We're supposed to, you know, have fellowship so we go to the potluck. We're supposed to do that. And I think that what is missing in all of that is the joy of being with the Lord. I mean, what if we stop calling Bible study, and we start calling it time with the Lord? Time where we're with the Lord and with his people. I'm not going to pray. I'm going to spend time with God. I mean, if we intentionally use language of intimacy, language that speaks to being with a person and not simply doing a thing, I think that it would help our perspective in terms of who the Lord is, and probably I think it would drive our passion. We talked about this a number of weeks ago, Mark, where, you know, do we study to know God or do we study to know and love God? And when I think when we turn it and we say, I want to study to know and love God, then the pursuit is no longer academics. The pursuit is no longer information. The pursuit is no longer all that. The pursuit is a person. The pursuit is coming into the presence of this person who loves you more than you could ever love. He can teach me, and this might be shocking to the listener, but he can teach all of us a thing or two about love. that there's something about love that he knows that we just don't know. There's something about passion that he knows that we don't know. That's the reason why, as people, we always default to lesser passions, don't we? I mean, mm-hmm. when we talk about intimacy, we immediately think about sex. When we talk about passion, we think about a scene in a movie where somebody was exuding this kind of passion for somebody else. And those are all good, but those all fall short of what passion means, how the Lord defines it, or intimacy as the Lord defines it. Intimacy with the Lord is knowing so much about that person that there's a nearness and a closeness that transcends even physical touch. And do we have that with the Lord? Do we experience deep times of intimacy with the Lord? And I think that that really comes down to what, at least for me, the problem is. And then I think how we view even our life. You know, I was sitting down with some guys for lunch yesterday, and we were wrestling what it means to follow Jesus. And I read a question that I have on the sheet that I made to just guide our time together. And the question was, what do you think you would learn if you spent the day with Jesus and his friends? And so immediately around the table, everybody defaulted to Jesus and his disciples. What would we learn if we spent time with Jesus and his disciples? And at a certain point in the conversation, I said, guys, can I just ask you a question? Why did you immediately take this question and go all the way back 2,000 years to try and find the answer and not find the answer right here today around this table? Because Jesus is with us right now, and we are his friends, and we're together. You could answer the question as, yes, what can we learn from Jesus and the disciples? But I want to ask you this question. What can we learn from Jesus and his friends, us together, right now around this table? And I think that that comes from part of the passion that we need to recover, need to have where Jesus is concerned, is to acknowledge that he's here right now, that he's in our midst. You know, and that was when John the Baptist came preaching the gospel. He kept saying that, right? He kept saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. It's so close you can reach out and grab it. And it's reaching out for you. And right now, I think that so many of us, we live this kind of kingdom of God at a distance. And yet this woman that you're talking about, she didn't live as though God was at a distance. She lived and moved and believed that she could reach out and touch the creator of the universe in that moment. And that in that, she had the faith to believe that doing so would be miraculous.
Yeah.
So one of the things I said to these guys that were around the table is I said, you believe that our time right now can be miraculous. Because here you have three guys pursuing Jesus. He's in our midst. We can reach out and touch him. Can something miraculous happen around this table? And one of the guys kind of jokingly said, like, you know, what do you mean? Will I be healed of this? And I said, you know what might be more miraculous is that you might acknowledge that you struggle with your prayer life. And then you suddenly decide you're going to pray more. Or maybe it might be miraculous that you realize that it's hard to read his word and you're going to set yourself to the task of reading his word more. Why does a miracle have to be some external manifestation? The biggest miracles are the places where we were not close to the Lord and now we move towards him. Does that answer your question?
Oh, classic. Oh, I really like that too, that many times when you talk about a miracle, I know it's true for me, probably many of the listeners too. Yeah, we think of like the healing. Think of Marge Ketchum. You know, we visited her last night at the hospital, and she has ALS, and they're really numbering her days. She wants to return home. In fact, tonight I think Herb picks her up, and she says, you know, I want to return home. That's where I want to die. And it's like the reality is like, wow. And yes, in a heartbeat, you know, we would pray for a miracle that she could be healed. And sometimes the healing is that she gets to spend eternity with God. That's the answer to prayer. But we usually think in terms of miracles as healings, that something would be taken away. But yeah, I like that you laid it out. You know, a miracle could just be learning the discipline of waking up at 6:15 to have your devotional time with the Lord, to meet with the Lord. The miracle could be that your hardened heart, for whatever reason, you know, gets softened and that you learn to forgive that person that you've held a grudge against. The miracle can be so many other things that maybe we don't always think about.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because you had sent me a message to ask me about Luke chapter 17, the faith of a mustard seed. And in that passage, one of the big key things is the reason Jesus uses a mustard seed is because he says it's not the quantity of your faith that counts. It's the quality of your faith that counts. And so on that great day, you could get before the Lord and tell him you did every best more Bible study under the sun. Huh. And he could look at you and say, but did you spend time with me?
Yeah.
And that's what matters to him most, not the quantity. And we love quantity. He says, I want the quality. I want to know that when you come to spend time with me, you're invested in being near me and with me, because I'm invested in being near and with you. That's why I sent Jesus, to give you the Holy Spirit. Can we close our time this morning just by praying for Herb and praying for Margie and probably all the other folks who might be listening in right now who are in similar situations? Father, we thank you for the opportunities that we have to pray for one another, to lift them up and bring them to the safest, the greatest place that we know, and that is at your throne. And Father, we pray right now for Marge, and we pray right now for Herb. Father, we love them, but we know that you love them more. We know that the one who defines love and who created the universe loves her more than we could ever imagine. And Father, sometimes the most loving thing is not the healing that can happen temporarily, but the healing that happens eternally. Father, I think about the greatest moments where I've ever sung Greatest Thy Faithfulness has been at the passing of a saint who now resides in heaven around that throne crying, holy, 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 it's the Lord God Almighty. And so, Father, we just pray right now for comfort for both Herb and for Marge. We pray, Father, that you would guide their steps, that you would keep their hearts, Father, that you would bless their thoughts, and Father, that you would make precious whatever time you've defined that either of them have together. And Father, we again thank you that you love them more than we could ever understand, and that you desire what is good for them.
Amen.
And so, Father, we just entrust them to you, the safest place we know, in Jesus' name.
Amen. No better way to close out a program or to bring healing and hope to a life than to pray for them and to connect with God on their behalf. And I know God loves Herb and Marge and loves our listeners and loves the world and has a plan and purpose for all of our lives. And it's to know him in a personal way and to spend eternity with him. And so if this is a foreign concept or something you've not thought about, there's an 800 number. It's called Need Him, 1-888-NEED-HIM. They'll talk about having a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ that can bring healing and hope to your broken world. And we live in a broken world, and we have a loving God that does care for us, cares for us in a personal way. So dial that 1-888-NEED-HIM, and certainly be in a Bible-believing church this Sunday where the Lord Jesus Christ is proclaimed and he's celebrated as Lord and Savior of the world. He's the King of Kings. He's Emmanuel, God with us. Get to know him in a personal way. He extends that offering, that invitation. He has a redemptive plan for you and your life. And as you draw close to God, he draws close to you. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffo with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you and have a great day and night.